Go to the ninth bracha of Shemini Esrei. Not really up to it. We're just mamash touching upon each bracha. There's much, much more to be said. The ninth bracha of Shemini Esrei is called Birchas Hashanim. It is the bracha of Parnasa. So we say like this. Baruch aleinu Hashem aleikeinu Hashana hazois. Bless on our behalf, Hashem, our God, this year, v'eskol minei tzvuasa letoiva, and all its kinds of crop for the best. V'sein tal umota levracha, right now that's what we're saying, and give dew and rain for a blessing, al pnei adama, on the face of the earth, v'sab'enu mituva, and satisfy us from its bounty, uvorech sh'naseinu kashanu matayves, and bless our year like the best years. Now there are different gersoyes here that we say levracha, because you are the good and beneficent God who blesses the years. Blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses the years. That is the simple understanding of this bracha. The Levush writes that this bracha was established when the angels said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mevorech Hashanim, the angels said, blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses the years, when Yitzchak planted and found Me'a Sha'arim. He found 100 times more than he had planted. I mean, it grew 100 times more than was expected. That's what it says in the Pasuk. V'yimsa b'shana ahu Me'a Sha'arim. He found that year 100 sha'arim, 100 times more than was expected. So then the angel said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mevorech Hashem. And this brach was based on that. Now, this requires some additional understanding of why they made the bracha specifically Baruch Ata Hashem Mevorech Hashanim. We also find this bracha different than all the previous brachas, is that we say Hashem Aleikeinu. All the other brachas, we started off with Hashiveinu, we say Hashiveinu Avinu. And Aslach lanu avinu. Re'eino banyenu, we don't say at all. We don't mention the Rabbeinu Shalala. Refa'enu, we do say Hashem. But Baruch Aleinu is the first one we say, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Aleikeinu. Bless for our sake, Hashem our God, as Hashem Azois. Why do we mention Hashem Aleikeinu here? We're talking to Hashem. We could have just said, Baruch Aleinu as Hashem Azois. Why do we say Baruch Aleinu Hashem Aleikeinu Hashem Azois? The Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Ma'aro Loimar Birchas Hashanah Betchias. Why is it that the bracha of this bracha Birchas Hashanah is the ninth bracha? Why did Chachamim establish this bracha as the ninth bracha of Shemini Esrei? Omar Rabbi Alexandri, says Rabbi Alexandri, Keneged mafkiyei sha'arim. It is written against those who raise prices. The chsiv, it says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Shevoir zroya rasha, break the arm of the rasha. That's what David HaMelech says. And David HaMelech is talking about those, the arm of the Rasha that causes price, that somebody who overcharges. It's not just overcharge. They raise the market price. They hike up the what?
They drive the market up. It's called gouging.
What is it called? Gouging. Yes. So what does that have to do with nine? So this is why it's the ninth bracha. Why is this the ninth bracha? Says Rashi. I'm sorry. Says the Gemara. V'David ki amra, v'chias amra. David said it in the ninth capital of Tehillim. It's a Gemara. It says, David said, Shavur Zeroya Rasha, break the arm of the Rasha. David said that in the ninth capital of Tehillim, so that's why, Baruch Aleinu, they were asking Hashem Sabeinu Metuva that Hashem should satiate us, that there should be a plenty so that people shouldn't be able to raise prices. Now that is all the simple understanding of the Gemara. And obviously there's something much deeper here, and we're going to try to dive as deep as we can. So it seems that we might go off topic, but we're going to come, Ritz Hashem, we'll all come back to understand what we're trying to, this bracha of Berachas Hashem. We all know that in Parshas, the beginning of Parshas told us, Yitzchak, there was a dispute between Yitzchak and Rivka as to who deserves the brachas. Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the brachas, and Rivka wanted to give Yaakov the brachas. As we know, Rivka prevailed. The question is, and before Shem asked, how is it possible that Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the brachas? There was a nevuah, there was a prophecy that was told to Rivka when Rivka was pregnant and the children were kicking around inside of her. She went to Shem ben Noach, Shem the son of Noach, and she was told a nevuah, a prophecy. Shnei goyim bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb. And the conclusion of the prophecy was Berav Yavod Tzoyer. The older one will serve the younger one. So there was a prophecy that that Esav was going to serve Yaakov. How could Yitzchak act against the prophecy and give the brachas to Esav? What?
Who said she shared what she heard by Shem and Esav?
It's hard to say. Why wouldn't she? If they're having a dispute, why is she? Easier than having Yaakov do this whole charade would say, I had a prophecy, Parsha told us. Capital Lamed, by Capital Chava, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It says, so it's talking about, there's a whole parsha over here of Yitzchak and Avimelech. First, Yitzchak is chased out of the land of Plishtim, and then they come back to Yitzchak, and Avimelech wants to make a covenant with Yitzchak, and they make a covenant, they make a bris. It says, Vayikra Yisra Shiva. They call the place Shiva. Rashi says, Al Shem Ashua. Because of the oath that they took. Ashua, Shiva. Al Kain, therefore Shema Ir Be'er Sheva Adayam Azeh. That's why the name of the city is Be'er Sheva until this very day. The problem with this pasuk is that in Parshas Vayera, Kapitel Chav Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the pasuk says there also Avram and Avimelech make a bris, Al Kain Koral Amakem Ahu Be'er Shava. That's why the name of the place is called Be'er Shava, Kisham Nishbu Shneim, because there they both took an oath. So Avram already called it Be'er Shava. So how can it say, Vayikra Al Kain Shemu Yer Be'er Shava, Adayim Azeh? It was called Avram called it Be'er Shava. What is he calling it Be'er Shava for? Why is that necessary? Chazal tell us that a person is obligated to make 100 brachas every day. Me'ah brachas b'chol yom. And they're soymechit, they're masmechit on a pasuk. They lean it on a pasuk. The pasuk says in Pashas, Ekev va'ata Yisrael mo Hashem alekech Hashem liyemach. Now Yisrael, what does Hashem ask of you? Kim l'giras Hashem alekech, only to fear Hashem. So Chazal say, Al tikra ma elameya. Don't read it ma Hashem alekech Hashem yemach. What does Hashem ask from you? Say mea Hashem alekech Hashem yemach. Hashem is asking you 100. Hashem wants 100 brachas every day. Now, wherever there's a Kabbalah, that wherever Chazal tell us al tikra this ela that, don't read it this way rather this way. Now, how can Chazal say that? It says it the other way. What Chazal mean to say is, you can't read it the way it's written unless you first read it otherwise. Once you read it otherwise, then you can understand what's written. So what's written here really is al tikra ma, you can't read it ma, ela mea, unless you first read it mea. If you read it mea, then you can read it ma. How in the world does that make any sense? I know that these questions don't seem to have any connection, but it's all going to come together. There's a medrash in Parshas Chayesara. Medrash says, Rebbe Kiva Yoshev V'Doyrish. Rebbe Kiva was sitting and darshaning. And the people were dozing off during this year. Bikish Lahiram. How can that be, right? Bikish Lahiram. So he wanted to waken them. Amar. So he said, Mara asa Esther Shatim Lech al Kubuch of Zion Medina. How is Esther worthy of ruling over 127 provinces? Ella Tavai Basbita. Shall Sarah, let the granddaughter of Sarah come. Shechosa Meya veEsther Meshav Hashanim. She lived for 127 years. Timloi Chalkuvach of Zion Medina, and she should rule over 127 provinces. That is what Rav Akiva. That's what Rav Akiva said to his audience, and that was supposed to wake them up. Okay, so first of all. What is the Medrash saying? What does one thing have to do with it? Because she lived 127 years, that's why she rules over 127 countries. How does that make any sense? And how is that supposed to wake people up? Why did Rebbe Akiva choose that one to wake people up? On that Pasuk, Vayuchai Sora, Meya Shana Vesram Shana Vesheva Shanim, that the life of Sora was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Yimechai Sora says the Medrash, Hadohu Dachsiv, that this is what the Pasuk means when it says, Yodea Hashem Yimei Tamimim. The Pasuk says, Hashem knows the days of the perfect ones, Menachlosam Lo'ilam Tia, and their inheritance will be forever. Say Chazal, Kishem, Shehim Tamimim, just like they, the Tzadikim, are Tamimim, Kachshnoi Seyim Tamimim, so also their years are Tamimim. So, what is the Medrash saying? What does Shaychas of that Pasuk have? What does this all mean? One more question. Pasuk and Tehillim, we're very familiar with. We sing this every Simchas Torah. We say it by Shir Shal Yom on Sundays. Gates, lift your head. Upis Chayolam, and lift the openings of the world. And the king of honor should enter. I know we say this all the time, but what in the world does it mean? What does it mean? Gates, lift your heads. Open, lift the openings of the world. What does this mean? Okay. We're all familiar that there is, Torah says, that a firstborn son receives a double portion in the inheritance. Right? So the Chachma Shlema, Reb Shlema Kluger, in the beginning of Hilchas Nachlis, brings the following Shaila. Someone married two wives. Let's call them Leah and Rachel. Married two wives. Leah became pregnant first, and then Rachel became pregnant. But then Rachel gave birth before Leah. Each one had a boy. Who is the Bechor? Is the Bechor the first one that was conceived? Or is the Bechor the first one that was born? That is his Shaila. And he brings from Chaim Volozhiner that the Bechor who takes the double portion is the one that was conceived first, not the one that was born first. He brings a Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Ki reishis oinoi loy mishpat ha-bechorah. Reishis oinoi means it was his first strength. So his first strength was the one that was the one that was conceived first. Rav Shlomo Kluger vehemently disagrees with Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He won't go into the whole Shakla Vitaria, the whole dialogue, but he disagrees with him and he concludes that it is definitely the one that is born first, that is the Bechor. The Netziv in his Sefer HaMikdavar says that Reb Chaim Volozhiner would never have said such a narishkeiten. He said it's sheker v'chazav and never said such a thing. So basically, halacha is no question that the one that was born first is the Bechor.
Of course, halacha
is
the one that was conceived first doesn't have any aid.
Everybody knows she was conceived first. She was pregnant before he even married the second one. What? Right, but there's no dispute about that. Everybody agrees. Both Rachel and Leah agree that that one's conceived first. You don't need either. Now, perhaps this was the machlokes between Yitzchak and Rivka. They both knew the prophecy. Rav Yavid Zoyer. The question was, who is the Rav and who is the Zoyer? Because Rashi says that Yaakov was conceived first. Right? They were twins. But Yaakov was conceived first. He was born from the first tippa. And Esau was conceived second. So Yitzchak held, like Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that you follow the one that was conceived. The one that was conceived first is the Bechor. So Yaakov is the Bechor. Esau is the Tzoyer. So when it says "Rav Yavid Tzor," it means that Yaakov is going to serve Esav. So he wanted to give Esav the brachas. Rivka held no. Rivka held like Rav Shlomo Kluger that the bechor, that it's her bechor. Each one held it was their bechor. Yitzchak held it was his bechor, meaning his tipa. Rivka held no, it's my bechor. The one that was born first, that's the bechor. So Esav is the bechor. Yaakov is the tzor. But Rav Yavid Tzor means that Esav will serve Yaakov. That's the machlokes.
Do they know about the selling of the Bechor?
Who?
Rivka and Yitzchak.
Maybe they did. That's. I'm not sure if that's relevant. The selling of the Bechor was only regarding the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. It was not regarding the double portion. Now, let's try to go into this a little bit deeper. Because what relevance does this have to our avodas Hashem? Let's try to understand Rivka's opinion and then Yitzchak's opinion. First, Rivka's opinion. Rivka's opinion is that we follow birth, and therefore Esav is the Bechor, Yaakov is the Tzoyer, and Hashem said Rav Yavid Tzoyer. Why would the Rabbi Nishlam say Rav Yavid Tzoyer? That the older one will serve the younger one. There's a concept of Seif Maaseh B'machshava Techila. Right? Meaning, the end product is really what was the original thought. Right? Let's say an inventor. Right? Somebody who invents something. Something comes to mind. The invention. What comes to mind is the end result. But so many things have to come into play first in order for the end result to come about. So would anybody suggest that all the things that were there, that came first, they actually were done first, that those are more important? Of course not. Everything that was done first was only in order to get to that end result. The most important thing is the end result. Right, same thing with Hashem creating the world. What was the muvchar abriya? What was the purpose of creation? Man. Who was created last? Man was created last. So would anybody suggest that everything that was created before man is more important? No. They were all created first in order to serve man. Man was the purpose of creation. Soif masa, whatever is the last thing to be created, that was machshava tchila. That was the original thought. Everything else is created in order to bring that about. So that's why Yaakov, who's born second, right, is the one that was conceived first. Because Soif Maaseh, Machshava Techila. Whatever is created last was the original thought. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom told Rivka, V'rav Yavoid Tzoyer. The older one will serve the younger one, because the whole older one was only there in order to prepare for the younger one. What did that teach us? It teaches us that whenever we look at anything in this world, we have to think about what was this created for? What was the machshava? The maaseh is not the ikar. We have to think, what was this created for? What was the purpose? What was the machshava tchila that went into this? The Zohar HaKadosh says, the pasuk in Kehelet, the pasuk says, hachacham einov b'roishai. The Zohar HaKadosh says a wise person has his eyes in his head. So the Zohar, that's what it says in Kehelet. So the Zohar asks, and where do the fools have their eyes? They don't have it in their head. Everybody has their eyes in their head. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, no. Hachacham, a wise person, always looks for the source of everything. A wise person never takes anything at face value. A wise person always searches for the source. What was the intent behind this? So, when we look at anything, at any bria in the world, we need to think about what was this created for? What was the Rebbeinu Shlom's intent in this object, in this happening? A chacham is always looking for something deeper, for the pnimius, not focusing on the chitzanius. And that's what the Rebbeinu Shlom taught Rivka when he said, V'rav Yavid Tzoyer. The fact that he's born second doesn't mean that he's secondary. Quite the contrary. Look at the conception. Focus on the conception. Focus on the thought, on the machshava that went into this. And in conception, that came first. Yaakov came first. So V'rav Yavid Tzoyer. That's Rivka's opinion. What's Yitzchak's opinion? Yitzchak also teaches us a tremendous lesson. Yitzchak teaches us the importance of hachana, of preparation. My father once pointed out that Yitzchak, the definition, the translation of the word Yitzchak means he will laugh. It's future. He will laugh. Yishmoel is mitzachik. It says in the pasuk that Sarah found Yishmoel being mitzachik. Mitzachik means laughing, currently laughing. And my father had a different approach, but I'd like to suggest that the difference is immediate laughter, instant gratification, instant laughter is not real laughter. It's something that dissipates and it's all over. That's Yishmael's type of laughter. Yitzchak's laughter is a thought-out laughter. It's something that a person was zoichet to, that a person merits due to one's preparation. If someone prepares before one begins davening, just by taking a few minutes, sometimes even a few seconds, just to think about what we're about to do. Who am I? Who am I davening to? If we just take a few minutes, a few seconds to think about what we're about to do, it gives us a totally different appreciation for the mitzvah we're about to do, or the tefillah we're about to do, the Torah we're about to learn. It gives us a tremendous amount of simcha. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak means I will laugh. I'm going to go through whatever toil it takes, but eventually I will laugh. And that laugh will be a real laughter. Because it's going to be a laughter that I worked for. It's not just an instant fleeting laughter, like a Yishmael laughter. Yitzchak. That's why Simchas Beis HaShe'eva on Sukkot always begins on Rishpiza the Yitzchak. Because what was Simchas Beis HaShe'eva? What was it? It was going to draw the waters in order to pour it on the Mizbeach. Where was the Simcha? The Simcha was by that Hachana, by the preparation of getting the waters to pour it on the Mizbeach. The drawing of the water, that was the Simcha. Say Chazal, Mishloiro Simcha Zu. Someone who doesn't appreciate this kind of Simcha, the Simcha of preparing for something, Loiro Simcha Miyamav, such a person doesn't have real Simcha. Because all a person might have is that fleeting simcha. That's not going to last. But it's a simcha that one prepares for is a simcha that lasts. So according to Yitzchak, right, according to Yitzchak, Yaakov was the Bechor, because he follows, Yitzchak follows conception. Yaakov was the Bechor, and Yaakov was the preparation for Esav. Chazal say, G'doyle Limud. Great is learning, Shemevila Deimaisa, because it brings to action. To Yitzchak, Yaakov represented Limud. Yaakov is Tom, Yeshev Eholim. Yaakov is sitting and learning all the time. Esav comes from the word Maisa. Esav was the one that was involved in the world of action. The learning is a preparation for the action. And therefore, Rav Yavai Tzor, he held that Esav, that Yaakov, the Rav, should be serving the Tzor. Because Yaakov is the Hachana to Esav. So both of these are emes, both of these are true lessons. Whether they applied to Yaakov and Esau or not, that's a different story. Apparently, Rivka was correct. But regarding our life, both of these are very emes. We need to be able to look at everything in life and to look for the source, not to take things at face value, realize what was this created for? What was the intent? And secondly, to see to it that we prepare for the important things in life so we can really appreciate them. Now, Baruch Aleinu, right, is the bracha for Gashmias. We're blessing, we're asking Hashem for Gashmias. What is Gashmias? Gashmias is, what? Why was, Gashmias is a preparation for Ruchnias. That's why Gashmias is here. We have Gashmias to prepare us for Avodas Hashem. We eat, so we have koyach to Avodas Hashem, we drink, and we sleep, and we work. All these are hachonis too, these are preparations for Avodas Hashem. That's the way Yitzchak would look at it. And Rivka would look at it. Why was this created? Why was this Gashmias created? It was created in order to give us the koyach to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're both, we're going to both come to the same conclusion here. The Gashmias is here in order to prepare us for Avodas Hashem. So now, in Gashmias, in all Gashmias, there is good, there's positive, and there's negative. The positive of Gashmias is what is going to bring us closer to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the Gashmias that we need in order to serve Hashem. The negativity of Gashmias is all the extra luxuries that are going to distance us from Avodas Hashem. So how does a person live their lives and not, you know, we're all involved in Gashmias. How do we live our lives and not get carried away? How do we live our Gashmias lives in order to use it for our Avodas Hashem and not get carried away to do too much? I believe the Eitza is if when we're involved in Torah and Mitzvahs, we're involved in Ruchnias, if we appreciate our Ruchnias, if we prepare, if we make hachana to our Torah and Mitzvahs and Tefillah, if we really appreciate our Avodas Hashem, so that positivity that we experience during our positive Avodas Hashem, that will spill over. And we'll see to it that we use Gashmias for a positive, in a positive manner. And at the same time, if we're very careful when it comes to the loisase, when it's the prohibitive mitzvahs in the Torah, if we see to it to keep away, if we're careful to be shomer mitzvahs loisase, absolutely, then protecting ourselves from that negativity will spill over into our in the areas of Gashmias, that we will keep away from the negativity of the Gashmias. So again, the more we appreciate the positivity of mitzvahs, the more we'll be able to focus on the positivity of Gashmias. The more we keep away from the negativity of Averis, we'll be able to keep away from the negativity of Gashmias. Now, it's getting late. It says in the Sforim HaKadoshim that the word that the term Shar, which means gate, refers to areas of Gashmias that are permissible. Because we have the Rishus HaRavim, the public domain represents the world of evil. All the prohibitive things. It's the world, the public domain. The Rishus HaYochid represents the private domain, is the Rishus of the Yechid HaShel Olam, is the Rishus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Shar, which is the gateway in between Rishus HaRavim and Rishus HaYochid, that's in Yonei Rishus. Those are matters of Rishus of that are permissible, yet not obligatory. They can go either way. It can be part of Rishus Adam, it can become part of Rishus Ayochid. That's called the Sha'ar. going to skip a little bit over here. So this is what Avraham Melech says. Se'u sha'arim roshaychem. Sha'arim are the gates. All matters of Gashmi is all matters of Rishus, all matters that are permissible. Lift su sha'arim roshaychem, lift your head, meaning look for the source, right? Chacham einav b'roshay. Se'u sha'arim roshaychem, lift your rosh, lift your source. U'se'u pischei oylam. Raise the openings of the world. The word oylam, Sfarim say the word, the reason why the world is called oylam is because it comes from the same word as helam, it conceals. This world conceals the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. As soon as the sha'arim, all matters of Rishus, as soon as they lift the rosh, and we see the source of what they're here for, the openings of oylam are lifted, and then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that we can allow the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to enter these areas as well. Now this is why, before we perform any mitzvah, or before we eat anything, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Elokeinu means our God. It represents all in yonim ruchniyim, all mitzvahs. If when it comes to mitzvahs, we make sure that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Elokeinu, meaning we appreciate the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's godliness and areas of spirituality, then Melech HaOlam. Then we can bring the Melech into the Olam as well. We can bring the Rabbeinu Shel Olam into this concealed world also. But the Aleph Beis is, there's got to be Elokeinu. It has to be that we appreciate spirituality. We appreciate our mitzvahs, our Torah and mitzvahs. And then, that allows us to bring the Melech into the Olam. V'yavah Melech HaKavod. This is what Chazal are telling us. A person needs to make Me'ya Brachos B'chol Yom. We need to make the brachas every day, mea brachas, to say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Now, the word ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Yemach. The word ma is Rosh HaTevis Melech HaOlam. What the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants of us is to bring him into this world. But you're not going to be able to do that. Al Tikra Ma, you won't be able to call the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Melech HaOlam, Ela Mea, unless you first make him Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Right? Mea is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You can't make him Melech HaOlam unless it's first Mea, which Mea is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. I'm not going to be able to include everything right I started out with. I gave myself... But I just wanted to conclude that this is when it says that Yitzchak found Mea She'orim. It's talking about Yitzchak's wealth, Yitzchak's Gashmias. It's telling us that Yitzchak's Gashmias was Mea She'orim, that all the areas of She'orim, which were all in Yonim Rishus, was on a level of Mea. That it was Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Because Yitzchak appreciated, it was Yitzchak. He appreciated with the proper achan, he appreciated ruchnias. Therefore, it was the sha'arim. We're all elevated.
What do we hear
from Rome? It's part of the arichas that I can't get into. What? We can do it next week also. Actually, it's talking important. Next week, I'll be out of town. The week after, I'll be out of town. The week after is the week of the wedding. So we are on hold now for a while.
So
but
it's
10 minutes tonight. Is it the Oilman Yisdah
Mar? Huh?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just one. The. this Indian of Elikenu, if I'm not rushing, I'll just continue with William another 5 minutes. This Indian of Elikenu is the Indian of Asay Tov, right? If a person appreciates Avodas Hashem, that spills over, and the person will allow a person to bring the Melech into the Olam. The area of Sur Meira, of keeping away from the negativity of Gashmis, which is brought about by keeping away from the negativity of all the Lois Asay, that comes from a Shvua, it's an oath, that each and every Yid takes before we come down to this world. The Chazal say that before the Neshama comes down to the world, there's an oath that we take, you're going to be a Tzadik and not a Rosh. It's an oath that we're not going to transgress the Torah. So a person needs to have in mind two things. Meya, Elikenu, Elchalayla. And at the same time, a person needs to have in mind Shava. That I took a Shua. There are things I cannot partake of. All the mitzvahs lo yisase. This is why every Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of the bris between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Atem Netzavim Hayom Kulchem, the bris, the covenant, there's a new covenant every year on Rosh Hashanah between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We read, on Rosh Hashanah, we read the parsha of the bris between Avimelech and Avram. It always bothers me. Why are we reading the parsha of this Rosh on Rosh Hashanah? It dawned on me, Avimelech is the day that we're talking about Avinu Malkeinu. We're talking about Avimelech. We're talking about my father, the king. And we're talking about the covenant that is made between Avimelech and Avram. It represents the bris that is taking place between Avinu Malkeinu and Klal Yisrael. And this bris is renewed every year. So the bris happens with Avram. The bris happens again with Yitzchak. Avram's Be'er Sheva is not Yitzchak's Be'er Sheva. Every Yid needs to have a Be'er Sheva. Not only every Yid, every year we need to have a new Be'er Sheva. That's what the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us. We have a new Shavua every single year that we make between ourselves and Avimelech, my father the king. So the Medrash says, Maro Asa Esther, Shatim Loich Al Meya Ve Esrim Visheva Medina. Meya is at the Kenim Alechayla. Esrim is the same letters as Sha'arim. Visheva is the Shua that we're not going to participate in things that we're not supposed to. Esther ruled over her Meya Ve Esrim Visheva. Where did she get that from? She got it from Sara Imenu, who lived a life of Tamimus. How does one live a life of Tamimus? When everything that a Yid does is Avodas Hashem, that's Tamimus. It's not just the mitzvahs that we do. Even the eating and the drinking and the working. If that's all Avodas Hashem, that's a life of Tamimus. The Pasuk testifies that Sora lived Meya Ve'esrim V'sheva Medina, meaning that all of her Sha'arim were raised because she had the Meya and she had the Sheva. She had the Lekenu Melech HaOlam, she had the Sheva, she had the positive, she focused on the positive, she kept away from the negative. Yodei Hashem Yemei Samim. That is the life of Tamimim. Kishem Shehem Tamimim, Kach Shinoi Sehem Tamimim. Just like their Tamimim, their year, every moment of their lives, no matter what they're doing, is Tamimim. So we have a Birchas Hashanim. It's a bracha of the years. And this is the bracha we ask for Gashmias. Because we need to see to it that our years should be Tamimim. But how does that all begin? Baruch Aleinu Hashem Aleikenu. If the Hashem Aleikenu is gebenched, then everything else will be benched also. But it needs to be a lekein if we want to make it melech ha'olam. When did the malachim say this bracha of Birchas Hashanah? When Yitzchak planted and he found Mea Sha'arim. When he found Mea Sha'arim, they said, Baruch Atah Hashem and Baruch Hashanah. When they realized that Yitzchak had created this Inyan of Elikeinu Melech, had established this Inyan of Elikeinu Melech HaOlam, and thereby lifting the Sha'arim. That's when they said this bracha. Say Chazal, what was this bracha established for? Against those who are mafkia sha'arim. Those who want to be mafkia the sha'arim. Those who want to take the sha'arim away from what they're supposed to be. That's what this bracha was established for. Birchas Hashanim. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu. If we want gashmias, and we ask Hashem for gashmias, and it has to be Hashem Elokeinu, we have to see to it that we appreciate ruchnias the way we should. And then we'll be zoiche. To Gashmias Barchava, every Yid should have Gashmias Barchava Sadas, which should be Zeicha to the time of where the Rebbeinu Shlomo will be Melech HaOlam, Be'ez Galus, Be'em Ahu Yeh Hashem HaKadosh Me'achad.